how do I want to say this? I'd like them to embrace those lessons a little bit more, a little faster. And, you know, like offensively, I just feel like we're not getting out and pushing it and running on the wings as much as I like and pushing with the pass. We did have some pretty good fast break opportunities where we got to the line, got fouled, had a couple finishes in there, but we're not doing consistent enough. You know, we're not running the first guy to the rim consistent enough. We get one to Tyrell, I think, in the first half where he just runs in the middle of the floor. We get a 2-point, but then we don't do it every time. So getting them to be consistent, holding them accountable in the offensive scheme of things, I think is a critical piece moving forward.
Good morning. I can't hear myself. Wait a minute there. There we go. Now I can. It's about 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's Sunday in Las Vegas. Take a few aspirin, maybe a swig of the old hair of the dog, and let's do this. I'm Brian Feldman, and you are tuned in to Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning on Fox Sports Radio here in Las Vegas, every Sabbath day, right? We're streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Radio Network website, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line, 1340 AM. If you got a minute, check out the Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. New likes and shares are always appreciated. If you feel like chiming in, please do so. The Fox Sports line is 702-876-1340. Joining me in studio, the man behind the infamous Wheel of Steel, as my good friend Chris Wynn would say, is Lotus Broadcasting's own Magnum the Producer. What's up, my brother? How are you this fine Sunday morning? And I say fine Sunday morning because did you see any of the games taking place in the Midwest yesterday? It is cold, so it's a fine Sunday morning here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it really puts perspective on it. We complain about it being in the 50s, and you're watching Michigan State, Ohio State, and West Virginia, Oklahoma in snow. And my mother in New Jersey, she said on our Facebook this morning, "Oh, bleep. Looks like we've got snow on the cars already, and it's not even December." I'm actually going back in a week, and I told her, I said, that crap better not be there when I get there, because I'm all about the sunshine and the warm weather, and I've been away from New Jersey for about 20 years, and there's no way I want to deal with that nonsense, especially flying in or out, because when you fly in the Newark airport and you're dealing with bad weather, the outcome usually means long, long delays circling above the great state of New Jersey, and just frustration because I hate being trapped on those small little seats and the tin can that you're flying through at 500 miles an hour. Just get me the hell to where I got to go. No bad weather. I got to go through Denver, too, so I'm not really looking forward to that.
You know, delays are, you already got Thanksgiving, which is a travel-packed time to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you add inclement weather to that. And, I was watching the games. Michigan State, of course, is about an hour and 20 minutes where I very well may be going next week. Still up in the air. I'm trying to get back to Detroit. We'll see. It's going to be a last-minute decision. So just for those of you out there, I might not be doing Out of Line next week because I will be in Detroit, hopefully, getting to go see the Lions play Minnesota at home. Should be pretty cool. But, yeah, Michigan is actually a little bit closer, Ann Arbor, to where I live, and it looked worse there than it did at EDC last year. The last 5 minutes of the game, of the Michigan game, I couldn't even see what was going on in the game. That's how bad it was there.
Yeah, but that's Big Ten football. I like that sort of stuff.
It.
As a fan, you know what? The games may not be the best when you're playing in that crappy weather, but I can remember a Jets-Steelers game, and there was a very famous Curtis Martin long, long run. I believe it was the longest run of his career. In a blizzard as the Jets beat the Steelers that day. I believe it was 2002 when that happened. But it's one of those memories. And even as a kid, I can remember going to Jet games. And anytime there was snow, as a kid, you love that sort of thing. Because it just adds to the game. You know, football is supposed to be cold. And we watch those NFL films where the frozen tundra, you know, Lambeau Field and covered in snow. And, yeah, you may not get the offensive explosions. But I think as a fan, it really adds to the game, and that is Big Ten football. You know, you don't get that in the SEC. You don't get that in the Pac-12. You very rarely get it in the big. I don't even know what they're called anymore. Big 12. You know, the Texas Conference, basically Texas and the Dwarves. You maybe get that at the Iowa State games, but you're not going to get that too much in the Big 12. You don't get in the ACC unless Boston College is involved. So that is Big Ten football. That's cool. You know, as a fan, I love watching games like that because, you know, it's great when you watch in the fall, the kickoff, you watch the girls in the T-shirts, and sometimes they're wearing the tank tops. But come November, they're bundled up, and I don't know. There's just something about girls in winter clothes. I kind of dig it, you know?
I'd rather have girls in summer clothes, but as far as football goes, it is. There's nothing like inclement weather for football. As a player, as a fan, I loved playing in the stuff. I was telling my girlfriend last night in a league I played up until I moved out here. I used to play. It was touch football, but I played in my shorts and a mesh shirt. Now I get freezing cold out here in this weather. It's incredible how much things have changed. But as far as watching football, love seeing those kind of games. Like seeing them on TV a little bit more than attending them. I wouldn't mind once in a while, and in college, I love going to the Michigan State games live, but no, man, I'll watch it on TV. I love seeing it. Like you said, it's enjoyable, but I'd much rather see it that way. Anyways, in the next hour, we will get down with some Rebel football and a little Rebel basketball. I absolutely have to talk about this wild and wacky college football playoff picture. There is a term, I should say there's a team that's barely ranked in the top 25. Last week, they could still technically make the playoffs. And believe it or not, I'm not talking about Western Michigan, who has absolutely no chance of getting in. Have you wondered why television ratings are down in the NFL and reaching record lows? I have a few thoughts to share with you. And from what I hear, our NHL franchise will finally be given a name this week. About time, since they start playing in less than 10 months. Today's guest, Steve Karp, sports columnist and the Las Vegas Review-Journal, who covers the league's newest franchise, will be joining the show to shed some light on what the name will be and what we can expect to see leading up to face-off in 2017. But first, I want to talk a little UNLV football. The football team did about what I expected them to do against Boise State, and I'm not saying it is a terrible thing by any means. Kurt Palandak, I mean, he put up some nice numbers again against the top 25 team. The guy runs the ball well. He throws the ball decently. I wasn't expecting any big things, but it's tough to go up to Boise after that big emotional win in triple overtime against Wyoming. To go up there and play Boise was tough. Okay, the game wasn't close. I mean, for a second or two, it might have been close and ended up 42-25 in favor of Boise. Boise looking to move on. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to give kudos out to him. And also, team captain and linebacker, one of the team captains, Tau Latulele, possibly a future in the NFL. He's undersized, but this guy has the heart of a lion. His cousin, Star Latulele, is a star defensive lineman for the Carolina Panthers. It's amazing. I was talking to Todd Dewey about this guy, and we were both kind of amazed that Hawaii didn't even want any part of him. When his cousin's in the NFL, his brother has had, you know, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, and I just think there's a place for a guy like this with a tremendous heart like he has. And, you know, I want to say kudos out to him. Hopefully we'll get some tape on him next week. If I'm not here, I've got someone else potentially going to the UNLV game. I really wanted to interview him before he leaves UNLV. And also, just to talk about UNLV's football team in the future. Listen, beating Reno next Sunday at Sam Boyd Stadium on Senior Day to retain the Fremont Cannon and give Sanchez his fifth win of the season and his second win in his first 2 years over UNLV's number one arch rival. It bodes pretty well for the guy. I'm impressed. It's just a shame that Idaho game got away from him because that might be the difference of them being bowl eligible. But they are where I think most people should have expected them to be in their second season under Tony Sanchez. You can definitely see the team responds to him very well, and I think given time, this guy will be a decent coach. I just hope, as I said, they give him time. Again, next week, Senior Day, it's the last game of the season. I hopefully will be in Detroit during that game, but wish him well. Get out there and support him, and get him to try to retain the Fremont Cannon. Instead of it going back and forth, they won it last year up in Reno. They can win it this year at Sam Boyd Stadium and keep it here, and I think that would be a great way for these seniors to go out. And five wins is pretty impressive considering after that loss to Idaho, it looked like it was really going to be a long season. They've responded nicely. The win against Wyoming, definitely the highlight this year, and give them credit. Real quickly, I want to move over to the basketball team as well. And, before we go to break, you'll hear an interview I had with Jalen Poyser. The big thing about the basketball team, we could talk about this. First, I want to start in the middle because one of their biggest areas of weakness right now is rebounding. They had two offensive rebounds against Cal State Fullerton. They were out-rebounded again. Yes, they won the last two games. Cal State Fullerton does have three guys over the over 6'10". They have one guy, this guy Peters, that looks like an offensive blindside tackle. I'm amazed he's not playing both sports looking at the size of him. I mean, ridiculous. But UNLV's got to improve in rebounding, and I think the one guy that can really help them, a couple guys can, Dwayne Morgan and, of course, Shaq, you know, Dembele getting healthy. He's our one true legitimate big guy, about 6'10", close to 7 feet. He was supposed to be a raw project, but I see early signs of solid play. He can already play some aggressive D, block some shots, and grab some boards. That's all you can ask of this guy right now. Bernie Fratto told me when we were sitting watching the game, we were watching the which game was it? The New Mexico Highlands game. And no, not that game. The first game, the game we lost against South Alabama, I was sitting next to Bernie. And we watched Dembele come in and actually give him a few solid minutes off the bench. And we're saying, you know, he's got to get healthy and everything. But Bernie said, you know, this guy's a total project. I mean, expect nothing of him this year. And yet, he comes off the bench, some solid minutes, an immediate block, a couple of boards, even scores some points. He didn't have any points last night. But he really is hustling. And I like what I'm seeing initially out of him. And Christian Jones is probably going to be the captain on this team, although, along with Dwayne Morgan when he gets completely healthy. Jones has got to be on the floor all the time. He's the widest body they have at about 225 to 235, 6'6", 6'7", range. But the bottom line is, this guy, I think, would see the floor on most D1 teams. I think he was the best recruit to get a senior to come over and play 1 year here. You know, again, he's got a really nice low post and mid-range game, and I think he will be a leader on the team. The biggest area of concern on this team, without question, is the point guard position, the floor general position. Again, you'll hear from Jalen Poyser in a minute, but Javon Mooring right now, you know, you look at this guy, and I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing when you hear what he did at, you know, at the D2 level. Just a year ago as a sophomore, he averaged 26.6 points a game, 6.2 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and 3 steals a game, leading his Division II team to the tournament. He was the tournament MVP in the NJCAA Division II Men's Basketball Player of the Year also. In the South Suburban Collegiate League, went 34-3 overall. I mean, I'm just kind of reading some stats from this guy, but I don't know. I definitely see the hustle. I definitely see the athleticism. But he just looks almost like a deer in headlights half the time running around the floor. He takes errant shots. Sometimes I want to call him Javon Seegers Mooring because he likes coming down and rushing a three up without letting the shot clock go down. I just don't know. You know, yet he's the second best ball handler on this team. Poyser's the best, but the bottom line is both of them, to me, are two guards. I don't see either one of them as a one, maybe to spell a one, but one of them is going to have to step up unless someone like Chris Clyburn all of a sudden can play the one position. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm waiting for somebody, and I like analogies. You ever see the movie Excalibur where King Arthur had to go, King Luther puts it in a stone, and somebody's got to pull the sword out of the stone to become the king. UNLV is waiting for someone to pull Excalibur out of the stone and take the lead and be the king of the backcourt. I don't know who can do it. Magna, anybody? I mean, can one of these guys really take the reins? Because right now, both of them seem a little bit lost when they play the one.
Well, with Mooring, I think it's a case of him trying to do a little too much at this point. You know, it's a big jump up in competition for him. So, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I think realistic Rebel fans, we're kind of expecting a little bit of a tough year. Hey, they're 2-1. That's a positive. That's a good thing, you know. Not that UC Riverside and Cal State Fullerton are great teams, but you know what? You got to beat the teams on your schedule. I think with Mooring, he's still relatively young. He's learning the game at this level. It's going to take a little bit of time. I think we as fans and the media, we've got to be a little patient, but it is frustrating. Because you would think a guy like Poyser, who was with the team last year, would have a little bit of a better grasp on this level. But I think it speaks to the volumes of which these guys were not coached by Dave Rice and his staff. I'm not going to just exclusively point him out because I think it's a group. It was a group effort that led to the demise of Rebel basketball last season. So I think Poizer, he's learning a new system. It's a new coach. It's a whole new personality with the team. It's a group of all new players for all of these guys. I mean, 10 new players on the team. The only guy on the roster that Poizer is going to be comfortable with, well, he's going to be comfortable with Tyrell Green, who, of course, redshirted last year. And then he's going to be comfortable with Dwayne Morgan. Other than that, it's going to take time for these guys to learn how to play with each other. So I think the fact that they are 2-1, despite the mistakes, I think that's a good thing, and it's a positive. And we as fans need to understand that it is going to be a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight. But I think what we need to look for is, did the team play better last night than they did against UC Riverside? Did they play better against UC Riverside than they did against South Alabama? I think that's the way we need to measure this season. Does the team get better every game? And I think they will over the course of the season. I think come Mountain West Conference tournament time, they will be a much better team than they are now because they'll have had 30 games to play together and they'll be comfortable with each other. And barring any, you know, horrible injuries, these guys will all have 30 games to gel. They'll get to know each other. I'm not too concerned right now. Now, if this type of thing is happening in late February, March, that's something to be concerned about.
Well, yeah, I am concerned because, again, you have to have a point guard. And I like what you're saying, give him time. But I just don't know still that we have a true point guard on this team. I think Mooring, believe it or not, when I thought about it overnight and second-guessed myself, might be our best option. What is amazing is I don't know where this guy switches. Nothing goes on in this guy's head until there's like 7 minutes to go in the game. He scored 7 points in the Riverside game the other night, and then he comes back against Cal State Fullerton, and again, 12 points within the last 7 minutes. All of a sudden, it's like, it reminds me, again, stupid analogies, but wrestling, when I wrestled in high school, this one school we wrestled against, this one guy and I were like dead even, and we wrestled in heat, and all of a sudden, his coach would yell to him in the third period, 10 seconds, I would hear him, and this guy twisted me up like a pretzel. How come he couldn't do that? The whole we were like perfectly even matched, and every time he beat me like 4-0, 4-1, the last 10 seconds, this guy went nuts, and I had no counter for it. Almost put me up, you know, got shoulder time, but where was it the whole time? It reminds me of Mooring. He is non-existent. I mean, he does a few things here and there, but all of a sudden, but it is crunch time when you need him the most. He's come through in the last two games. Let's see if that can get happen, and we do got to take a break, but on our way to break, I do want to play for you. It's a little bit long. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to have Steve Karp, as I said, from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, talking a little bit about the NHL. I got some questions I definitely want to ask Steve. But first, this was Jalen Poizer, I should say, after the first game that they won against, UC Riverside, right. The first game that they won, and talking to what right now is our point guard.
Hey, Jalen Poizer, one of the three guys that returned this year. A little bit of a rough start. You guys are starting to gel. First win tonight. How are you feeling?
You know, it feels great to have the win. Last game, we didn't come out and get the W. You know, that's something that we're looking forward to. But, you know, we came to the game today, you know, with a chip on our shoulder, and we executed plays and came out with a W.
Started a little bit slow tonight against them, and then all of a sudden it seemed like at one point in the first half, maybe it was when Dembele came in or something, but you guys really picked it up defensively. Some of the best defensive efforts I've seen by this team to this point.
We had a lot of guys that were injured, a lot of key guys like Dwayne Morgan and Cech. You know, they're a big presence in the key. You know, they help on the glass. You know, they alter a lot of shots. So, you know, it's good to have those guys back.
You came back. What was the decision? I mean, there was a lot of disarray at the end of last season. You were one of the guys that came back, stood up and said, hey, I'm still with UNLV. What helped make that decision?
Talking to Coach Menzies every day once he got the job. My AAU coaches told me, you know, trust the process, see what your options are, what your best options are, and UNLV was the best option going forward.
The biggest challenges you feel ahead right now, you're just starting to get into this. You got a little bit of time before the Mountain West Conference, but you got some big games coming up. What do you feel is the biggest thing this team needs to work on at this point?
Executing plays, you know. Once we get the lead, we have to, you know, continue to push lead up more. Defense, obviously, you know, staying low, taking away the passing lanes, not allowing guys to get into the middle of the key and rebounding.
Last year, you got a chance to play with some guys that are now playing in the NBA. A whole different team where you're asked to take the rock and be the floor general. What do you see? Any comparisons you can make to this team? I mean, it's such a different look, but to this team, to last year's team?
You know, we have a whole new coaching staff, 12 new guys. You know, coach expects us to, you know, right now it's the gelling process, but, you know, one thing he keys on in is, you know, playing together, not being selfish, moving the ball, and executing plays. You know, that's something that's good going forward that I don't really feel that we did last year a lot. We held the ball a lot and bring up the ball to the floor because we did a lot of pick and rolls. But, you know, in order to win a game, it takes a team, not a couple players.
From an outsider's perspective, I look at Coach Dave Rice of the last couple years and Coach Menzies, and I see two completely polar opposites. Compare the two. What's the difference between the two? What's good? What's bad?
You know, I love Coach Rice. Coach Rice is a great coach. Unfortunately, you know, he got the job at Nevada. Coach Menzies, you know, he's up. My bad, I'm a little sick right now. Coach Menzies, you know, he's a very spiritual guy. He expects us to, you know, have a lot of energy on defense and offense. You know, when things aren't going right, he expects us to keep our head up and you know, push it forward. He never expects us to keep our head down. Even when things are going wrong, he still wants us to keep our head up. You know, after that loss the first game, first thing he said is, you know, we didn't expect to come out the game and lose. But, you know, we have to get into practice. You know, the practice was tough the last couple of days. You know, we came up with the win today.
Last question for you. Tell me this much. Right now, this team going forward, I know if you're talking to UNLV fans out there, there's expectations best. But if you were standing right now, Jalen, talking to a UNLV fan, what would you tell him he can expect from this team this year?
You know, running, getting on the floor, a lot of highlight plays, fast breaks, defense, and rebounding.
Best of luck. You feel better, my friend.